From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well-known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Richard, before the break, you were explaining to us sort of the process for this Star Team program that had a contract with Bigelow Aerospace, which was the contractor for the DIA. So MUFON would get 800 or so reports a month. And then you whittle them down to 50 or so of the best that goes to the STAR team. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. And again, those people were watching that database on a 24/7. And so when a case would come in, they'd verify it as best they could. Like an example of that would be one night a report came in and it was and the person said they were a Catholic priest. And so when we did the background check on it, the phone number came up in the middle of a big Catholic church complex. So we're like, okay, that probably validates that he is who he says he is, that kind of thing. And so they go through that, validate all the information they could, and then we'd end up with about 50 really good cases that we'd work with. And we'd send investigators to interview them, and then ultimately a final report would go to Bass. And then once it got on their side of the mirror, then they would look at it and maybe go back out and interview the person again or do medical tests or whatever they wanted to do.
How many of those cases do you think you personally investigated, that you went out into the field and dug into?
We had 50 people that we designated as investigators, people that we trusted and wanted to work with. And I would send them out. There was a case up in New York where it affected a car, and investigator went and looked at the case, and then I went back once I got everything together. I went back out and interviewed the guy a second time myself. I'd say probably about 20 of those cases I personally was involved in some respect, you know, where I actually talked to the people. And the whole idea with it was we had the money. We were getting $57,000 a month from that contract. And so, you know, an example would be at the time I was living in North Carolina. A case came in, it was in Texas. And the case, they contacted me at 10 o'clock in the morning about the case. And at 6 o'clock that evening, I was in the guy's backyard.
Oh, man.
So we could move fast.
It makes all the difference in the world to have resources, to have the money to finance the trips, and to have the people screening the calls, right?
Yes. Yeah, the people screened the calls, and then we had all the resources. That we had a operations person that would basically make airline reservations, hotel reservations, that kind of thing, ship equipment to them. And it was very well oiled, and we could move really fast, which is what you have to do if you want to get on something quick. You want to get there before it gets out in the media and all that kind of thing.
Some of these cases are pretty sensitive, but of the ones that you can talk about, hit me with one that our audience would be bowled over by hearing about.
Well, there was I know in the book that you guys wrote, the Skinwalker at the Pentagon, you referenced one of the cases you referenced in there I actually worked on. And an individual was basically he's at home and he hears the dogs barking, and he goes outside and there's a huge triangle shaped craft hovering over his backyard. And there was a lot to it, but what he did was he took one of those real bright spotlights and put it up on, tried to light the craft up. And when he did that, a real hot white beam came down and burned him. You know, when I went to see him, he had it looked like real bad sunburn. And really interesting case. And you know what, I'd say there was some pretty good physical evidence there because of the physiological, the burns on his skin and that kind of thing. In New York, one of the best cases I've ever worked on was an individual. He was a psychiatric doctor that worked in a facility, and he worked night turns. So it's midnight and he's on his way home, and he's driving. It's up in Port Jarvis, New York, and it's there, kind of winding country road. And as he comes over one of the hills, he sees a light that's kind of at high altitude and pretty far away. And, as he's driving along, it seems like the light's getting closer and closer. And he's really curious. So he pulls off the side of the road to watch this thing to see what it is. And pretty soon, it comes right over his car, maybe 150 feet above his car. And it's rotating. And when that happens, everything in the car goes out. The headlights go out. The dash lights go out. The radio goes off. His cell phone goes dead. And he's basically sitting there in the dark, and this thing's hovering over the car. And he said it sounded like a cat purring, which is pretty common in some of those encounter cases. But what he did was he said it, at first he was curious, and he started getting really scared. And he I remember him telling me, he says, I wasn't sure to get out of the car. Should I run or what? And by the way, the answer is always stay in the car. He opened the door, and when he looked up at it, it disappeared. And, I said to him, well, did it fly away or did the lights go out? He goes, I don't know. I just stepped on what happened was when it disappeared, the car came back on. And he said, I just stepped on the gas and I went through every stop sign and red light on the way home. The big significant thing about that case was when we went to investigate it, it had a huge, very strong magnetic field around it. Investigator told me he walked up to it, he put his hand out, and 10 inches away from the car, you could feel the static cling like you get when you take a sweater out of a cleaner bag or something like that. And we did tests on it, and it had a very strong magnetic field around the car. And the thing that I think was most interesting about the case was the guy told us that, I said, well, when it left, what happened? He said everything came back on. And I said, so you mean the engine started? He said, no, the engine didn't start. It was just running again. And I'm like, help me understand that. What do you mean? And he said, it was like if you were watching a movie and you pushed the pause button and then you pushed the play button again. And I said, you mean the motor didn't, crank and then start? And he said, no, it was just running again, which is really, really interesting.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. And there are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood as a valued form of money for millennia. It's why people are flocking to it now and why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold can let you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold. And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket to make that change. To learn more, text COAST to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? If not, call the people I trust, Birch Gold. Text COAST to 989898 and secure your savings today.
So these things are real. There are physical consequences. They're not imaginary. People didn't dream them up. It's not an illusion. It's not a dream. These things were real. And in cases that you investigated, there are physical consequences, both on people and on machinery and the environment.
Absolutely. Yes. And, people will get their physiological symptoms. People have various health problems, sickness. One of the most common ones is people say it tasted like my mouth was full of pennies. It had a real strong copper taste to it, you know, things like that. Burn marks, and various, they're disoriented and nauseous and that kind of thing.
That is part of why you realize that it's a physical reality, that it has consequences, which is part of the reason you wrote this book for first responders, yeah. Right? Because the time may come in the careers of first responders, police, fire, when they come upon a scene where some level of expertise would be needed.
Well, I think part of the purpose in writing the book was because people that in law enforcement are not trained about this. You know, I've worked in law enforcement both on the state and the federal level. And, you know, I went through the police academy and all the government training and involved with when I was with Homeland Security, I was on the anti-terrorist task force. There isn't one word of any training ever about in any of that. Police officers are just simply not trained about it as if it doesn't exist. And what really prompted me to write the book was, I was talking to the sheriff here where I live, who I know, and he was, you know, he's asking what I'm doing. I told him I was writing books about it. He's like really interested in it. And, and he said, would you come and talk to my guys? And I just like to get them up to speed on this, because now that it's in the public domain and it's real and people realize it's real, a lot of these sheriffs and police agencies, their people need to be trained. And no one ever has been trained before. So when I wrote the book, there's a little bit about the history in the book, and how it's all developed. And also, there's a more realistic scenario. Like if there is a crash or something is, you know, something comes down like that, the reconnaissance people are going to be on it immediately. And so the local police would be used to maintain a perimeter around something like that. So if there's a crash, the recon unit's going to get there, and then they're going to want a perimeter set up. They're going to put a story out, you know, that there's been some kind of a toxic spill or, you know, something with the media to keep people away from there. And then the local police would be typically involved in the, you know, in maintaining a perimeter. And they, a lot of times I would think that, I'm pretty sure that the local police really might not know what's going on inside that perimeter, because you're going to have a specialized team of recovery people that are going to go in there and analyze the wreckage and do certain tests looking for radiological information and, you know, electromagnetic fields. And so they're going to do a lot of tests on that and then secure it. And then ultimately, it's got to be packed up and transported out of there. And so at least if the people that read my book would at least understand what's going on with it.
And, so you're not describing
also I put a chapter in there about what to do and not do if you ever encounter this kind of stuff, because as we know, there's certain hazards that would affect a human in close proximity to one of those things. So the things like, you know, if there's a craft that's hovering, you don't want to walk underneath it, because the electrogravitic fields that come out from out of it will burn you. Like, it'd be like sticking your arm in a microwave oven, and it'll clearly do tissue damage. If you have something that's on, if you have a craft that's on the ground and it's still powered up, there might be like an ultraviolet radiation that comes off the skin of the craft or the metallic surface, and it would burn you like a sunburn. And there's also some cases where you've got radiation in like the X-ray spectrum that's strong enough to give you radiation sickness. So, you know, an officer needs to understand that if you get around something like that, you have to be careful and keep a distance from it to protect yourself. And not only that, like I said that in my book, I said, if you're in a squad car, the best thing to do is stay in the car, because the metal in the car protects you from a lot of that. And then, you know, also things like, if you get in close proximity where there's entities involved, you know, if you have a gun in your duty belt, in your holster, you need to leave it there. Displaying a weapon would probably result in, you know, disasters if you did that. Because remember, you're dealing with entities that have technology that's 1,000 years ahead of ours. And so anything hostile towards them would probably be a big mistake.
Let's say cops arrive at a scene. There's a flying saucer sitting in a field. It would be overwhelmingly tempting to go out and touch it, but that's not a good idea either, is it?
No. I think you'd want to keep your distance from it. And also, because just what I said, you know, if you get close, you could get burned or radiation sickness from it. The propulsion that's used in these things, they call it, it's electrogravitic, and it's very similar to microwave in terms of how it'll affect skin tissue. And, you know, particularly underneath one, you just have to be really careful not to do that, you know. And, also one of the things, I know this sounds a little quirky, but in my book, I said that if you do come across a situation like where there's a crash or wreckage and there may be entities that are still alive in there, you have to be careful about your mindset. You know, if you approach something like that, you want to have in your mind thoughts of compassion and thinking I'm here to help and stuff like that, rather than, you know, thinking that you're going to go to guns on somebody if, you know, I'm going to shoot the place up. And that, I think, is really important too. And it's kind of a hard concept for some people maybe to accept, but clearly entities like that can telepathically sense what your intentions are. And I think you want to project, you know, an air of compassion and, you know, I'm here to help kind of thing.
People who are not well versed in the subject think it's all imaginary, and are unaware of that there are some serious injuries that have been reported by people who come into proximity with these things. I'm thinking of Bentwaters, the American serviceman, John Burroughs, for example. He got dosed and eventually received medical benefits from the government because of his on duty injuries. Right?
Yes, exactly. And that does happen. And in my first book, which was a book designed to teach people how to investigate, there were a lot of those kind of physiological symptoms that were listed in there, you know, but a lot of it has to do, the most common injury from a UFO encounter is an injury to the eyes, you know, the most common type of injury is eye injuries, where like you get, you know, light hurts your eyes and you know, that kind of thing.
What else?
The psychic effects are, you know, there's a big part of that where people are really traumatized, and you know, and depending on how the encounter unfolds, particularly, you know, having interviewed many abductees, a lot of times that when they walk away from something like that, they do something to them so they can't remember it. So they'll be very agitated and concerned and upset, but they can't remember exactly what happened to them. So I'd say probably eye injuries, and then also psychic effects where someone is really traumatized or very, you know, on a subconscious level, they've been really, really, you know, horribly upset.
You know, the OSAP program, one of their focuses, as you know, was on injuries, on the human effects. And it seems like many of the things that happen, if not most of the things, the injuries that happen in proximity of UFOs, were only because people are in the general area, not intentional. But there are some exceptions to that over the years. Did you investigate anything like that?
Well, I think that, you know, working with the BAS team, we you know, one of the things that they would convey to me is that, yes, there have been people that were injured, but it wasn't by deliberate intention. It's like, you know, somebody walked under a hovering craft and got burned or, you know, but it wasn't because they deliberately injured them. But there are, you know, the case that you all had in your book where the beam of light burned a guy, it was obviously, you know, when you put he had put a real bright, you know, high power camel power spotlight up on it, and when he did that, then there's a you know, basically return fire. This beam of light came down. Generally, that's another thing I put in my book for the police, is don't point any kind of high intensity flashlights or spotlights at them, because every time, all the casework that I've done, every time somebody does that, it ends badly.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.